You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Every so often on this show, we call up three mayors in different parts of the country, Georgia, Oregon, and Wyoming, to be specific, to get a sense of what the economy looks and feels like in their cities. And with just a few days left before Election Day, we wanted to check back in with them to see how their constituents were making sense of this crazy election season. First up is Mayor Dennis Mock in Dalton, Georgia. Good to talk with you again.
Well, Lizzie, good to be back.
What has the election and sort of this season brought out in your community as you see it?
I guess really the only insight I have into that is, and it's probably national trend too, everybody's still a little bit confused and uncertain as to what they really want and need out of this election. The manufacturing community here especially is hoping for the candidate with the least government regulation and the least government oversight and the least taxation of business. And they haven't really enjoyed the last 8 years of the Democratic regime in there.
Do you think that means that your city ends up going for Trump?
At least the business portion of us, yes.
The last time we talked, you were working on some regional economic development plans. How's that going?
Actually, we're still in that process. We're kind of closely connected to Chattanooga in that the Volkswagen plant up there has attracted a lot of outside manufacturers that feed into the auto manufacturing, and we're still trying to land a good fit for our industrial park here with some spinoff from that business up there. We're getting closer. We get a lot of hits, and they'll run out of land up around Chattanooga pretty soon, and they'll need us, and that's what we're waiting on.
You know, I'm curious because you obviously are in a manufacturing center, but also when you talk about, say, the Volkswagen operation in Tennessee, that's something that depends on international trade. It feels a bit to me like you're kind of in the middle of these two really hot button issues.
And we are. And our economy here also depends on world trade too. We're a global market in the floor covering industry, and as the housing industry and hospitality industry and anything to do with construction goes, we live and die by that.
So would you like to see more free trade?
Absolutely. Free and equal trade.
Do you feel like you're getting that from either of them?
You know, I don't really know all that much about the trade regulations, but I have heard that, you know, it's kind of one-sided in some fields that we take things in without much difficulty, but if we're shipping somewhere else, we may get taxed pretty heavily on the other end, and it's harder for us to get our goods in other countries than vice versa.
We ask people sometimes to sort of describe their economy, and how would you say your Dalton economy is now?
It's good and getting better and has a lot of potential. We are in the manufacturing community, as I said, and we're pretty well known for our low wage rate, which appeal to some of the bigger box stores. Look at our income rate here in Dalton, Georgia, and they don't come here because of that. So we're hoping to get a bump with another industry here that might increase our wage rate and give us a little more prosperity, a little different look here in Dalton.
When you say your low wage rate, would your community ever consider something like one of these mandatory minimum wage bills that have gone around in different cities and states?
No, I don't think so. That sounds like heavy-handed government, and I don't think we're really looking for that. We're looking for more of an industry or a company that wants to come in here and pay a little more and maybe up the wage scale a little bit without government intervention.
I'm going to talk to our other two mayors who we check in with, Louise Carter King in Wyoming and Biff Tabor out in Oregon. Any questions I should ask them?
Well, the same questions would be great. I'd love to hear their answers.
You got it. Dennis Mock, thank you very much.
All right, Lizzie, thank you.
Louise Carter King is the mayor of Gillette, Wyoming. Gillette's economy relies heavily on its coal and oil industries, and it's been struggling a bit this year. I asked Mayor Carter King how things are going now.
We have had a downturn. Energy prices have really dropped. I would say we're not quite where we were last year, but we are improving.
And when you think about, you know, what people in your city are going to go to the polls on or about, you know, what sort of issues do you think are top of mind for them?
Well, around here, I would say the economy is number one. And with the two candidates that we have, with Hillary saying that she's the statement she made that she later backed off, but she did say it, that she was going to shut down some coal mines and lay some coal miners off. I think it hit pretty hard around here. So there's not a whole lot of Hillary support.
Is there Trump support?
Yes. I think Cruz was who won, but Trump was a close second. So, yes, I think even though I think everybody realizes there's trouble with Trump, he, as far as our economy, would be the better candidate.
You know, when you think about your city, your city is one that's very sensitive to national energy policy. It really has a big effect where you are. Do you think whoever is in office next is someone that, you know, your city and state can work with when you think about kind of the economic future of your town?
Well, I sure hope so. We would like whoever gets elected to come and visit us so we can show them firsthand how responsible we are with the environment and, you know, with how we mine coal and how we handle our energy resources, which we have a lot. And I believe working with the administration is better than working against it. So, yes, I think we can work with them and show how, you know, coal can be good for our future and good for the nation.
You know, the last time I talked to you, we got a letter from a listener who said, well, why don't they diversify their economy? You know, fossil fuel in a lot of places, while it is a source of energy, is also unpopular because of the environmental effects. Have you thought about trying to kind of branch out and make Gillette prominent in other industries?
Sure. And we have been. What has been happening is just in the last year, there's been two companies, one that is already in production, another one who's getting ready to build a facility here to use the carbon from coal.
Oh, yeah.
In a different way, rather than, you know, for power. That's been going really well. The one company here, Atlas Carbon, just received a $15 million loan from the state to put on another production line because they just received a big contract. And they use it for water filters, and they say that industry is really growing. You know, that's both for both sides. It's not burning the coal and worrying the environmentalists, but it is using a resource that we have plenty of for another product.
We've talked to you a couple of times since you've been in office, and I wonder, at this point in your term, what's kind of the top of your mind when you think about taking care of your city?
Well, I guess I would just have to say I traveled down to our state to talk to the governor and our other elected officials about making sure this local company, Atlas Carbon, could get that loan because that meant more jobs for our city plus, you know, more of a future in a different kind of industry. I would have to say that's still the top priority is to try to help build our economy back to at least close to where it used to be.
Well, Louise Carter King, mayor of Gillette, Wyoming, as always, it's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate hearing from you and look forward to talking to you again.
And now the last of our three mayors, Biff Traber, the mayor of Corvallis, Oregon. That's where Oregon State University is, which means a pretty highly educated workforce and a fair number of startups. I asked Mayor Traber what the election season is like in Corvallis.
Well, I think our area is a fairly Democratic from a partisan point of view.
Yep.
More came out during the primaries where there was strong support for Bernie Sanders. But I think from a national election, there's just more frustration of and now I'm perhaps part of my personal opinion with how strange this whole election has gotten. The more locally or regionally, we do have a major tax initiative on a statewide ballot. That's important because we've been struggling with the, as referred to around here, our two legs of the three-legged stool we should have. We only have property tax and income tax.
That's right. You have no sales tax in Oregon, right?
No sales tax. And we're trying something this fall to see if we can tax the out-of-state corporations, the big companies that do business here and manage to move their profits out of state so they don't pay as much income tax. And it's sort of the big statewide excitement.
You're in a pretty left-leaning area, as you mentioned. Does the tax issue kind of separate along party lines, or is it different? Is it more nuanced than that?
I think it's more nuanced, though there is a strong Republican position about being very careful about new taxes, though there is very strong bipartisan recognition or continued discussion that we've got to do something to solve the situation.
I'm going to ask you a variation on a question that I asked Dennis Mock, which is, you know, we talked a year ago, and you have described to us before on this show, you know, you're a university town, you got educated workforce, startup demographic. What has changed in the year since I have last spoken with you in your local economy?
Well, I think the biggest change is the up and running and becoming more embedded startup focus, entrepreneurial focus with the university. So on one side, that's the biggest change from an economic side in terms of culturally and socially. I think we are continuing to build new connections to the university, students, faculty, staff, in more day-to-day activity and operation. An example is a recognition in the community of a need to focus more on a group we hadn't been focusing on as much, and that was international students and their families. We have a growing international student population, and many of them are bringing families, and a major part of that population is Muslim. And with all of the politics we were talking about earlier on a national level, there's a fair amount of reinforcing our value of being a welcoming community, particularly emphasizing that as part of the Muslim community.
Biff Chaper, thank you so much for talking with us, and I look forward to checking in again.
Well, happy to do that. These are always interesting conversations. So thank you for continuing to do it.